ever get that feeling? You know when you're sitting there with your partner and it's like, who I is this person? You're sharing a life, but somehow you feel totally disconnected.
Yeah, it's a feeling a lot of couples experience, wouldn't you say? That whole stranger in my own home thing can be a big wake-up call.
Totally. And that's where this deep dive comes in. We're taking a look at the blog post you all sent over, Reviving Connection, the Key to a Lasting Marriage, by Sunflow Media Productions, Michigan. They get straight to the point about what happens when communication breaks down in a marriage.
Yeah, and they don't mess around. The blog actually cites some pretty alarming statistics.
Mm.
Did you know that communication issues are a factor in over half of all divorces?
That's huge.
Over half. Wow, okay, that puts things in perspective for sure. It's not just about, like, avoiding a few arguments here and there.
Mm-hmm.
It really gets to the heart of what makes a marriage work long term. And the blog, thankfully, doesn't just leave us with that scary statistic and no advice. They actually give us some warning signs to look out for. Like, how often are you really talking to your partner? And when you do, are those conversations few and far between? Or do they always end up as blowouts?
Right. And what I find really interesting is that the blog points out how these communication breakdowns often happen so gradually. Life gets busy, you get comfortable, and boom, suddenly your ship's passing in the night. You barely even notice it's happening. They have this example of a couple, Emily and James. They were so in love at first.
Mm.
But over time, work and kids and just daily life really took their toll.
It's such a classic story, right? Life just has a way of sneaking up on you. So they were totally smitten, but then somewhere along the way, they stopped really connecting. So they were so in love at first, but then over time, they kind of lost that spark and stopped really connecting. It's like they woke up one day and realized they were more like roommates than romantic partners.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I appreciate about this blog. They don't just leave us hanging with that depressing thought. They actually offer some real solutions, some hope.
Right, like throw us a lifeline here.
Right.
And some of the solutions seem surprisingly simple, like just taking a few minutes every day to check in with your partner. You know, really asking, how was your day? And meaning it, actually listening to the answer.
Yeah, sounds basic, right? But honestly, the impact of those small intentional actions can be huge. The blog even mentions this one study where couples who did weekly check-ins saw a 50% increase in emotional intimacy. That's not nothing.
50%. Wow, that's amazing. But it's not all about having these structured conversations, is it? The blog also talks about the importance of shared experiences.
Oh, absolutely. It's about rekindling that sense of fun and adventure that might have gotten lost somewhere along the way. The blog talks about revisiting old hobbies, trying something new together. Even simple things like keeping a gratitude journal together can make a big difference. And then, of course, there's the classic date night, setting aside dedicated time to just be together and reconnect.
Date nights are so important. Even with regular check-ins and fun dates, though, disagreements are bound to happen. It's just part of being in a relationship, isn't it? So how does the blog recommend handling conflict?
That's where things get really interesting. The blog doesn't shy away from the reality of conflict. Instead, they give us practical tools to deal with disagreements in a healthy way. One technique they emphasize is using I statements. So instead of blaming your partner with you always or you never, you focus on expressing your own feelings. I feel hurt when, or I feel frustrated when, you know.
It's about shifting the focus from blame to understanding, right? You're taking ownership of your own emotions instead of pointing fingers.
Exactly.
Wow.
It's a simple change, but it can make a huge difference in how you approach and resolve conflict. And along those same lines, the blog also highlights the importance of approaching problems as a team.
Makes sense. Your partner's working together to find a solution instead of viewing each other as the enemy.
Right. And here's where the blog gets really deep.
Huh?
It talks about the power of vulnerability.
Vulnerability. Now that's interesting. How does that play into resolving conflict? Vulnerability. Now that's interesting. How does that play into resolving conflicts?
So it's like letting your guard down a little, you know, letting your partner see your fears and insecurities.
It's tough to do though, right?
It can be. It definitely takes some trust.
Mm-hmm.
But the blog makes the point that when we share those vulnerable parts of ourselves, it can actually make our bond stronger.
Kind of like that saying, true intimacy starts where perfection ends. We all have our insecurities, right? And showing them to our partner can create a deeper connection.
Exactly. And it allows for deeper understanding and empathy in the relationship. But the blog doesn't stop there. It also talks about the role of humor in navigating difficult conversations.
Oh, I love that. A well-timed joke can really lighten the mood, right? Especially when you're talking about something serious.
For sure. It's about finding that balance between addressing real issues and not taking ourselves too seriously. And to make sure those conversations are happening regularly, the blog suggests creating a communication ritual.
A communication ritual. Okay, now I'm really intrigued. What does that look like?
So think of it less like a formal thing and more like a standing date to connect with each other. The blog suggests setting aside some time, maybe daily or weekly, where you and your partner can just talk without distractions.
Got it. So no phones, no TV, just focused time together?
Exactly. And it doesn't have to be all serious and intense either. The blog even mentions using conversation starters or those communication card decks to get things flowing.
I love those cards. Sometimes it's hard to know where to start, right?
Totally. And I think the main takeaway there is that it's all about being intentional, creating a space for open and honest communication.
Prioritizing that connection. It shouldn't be an afterthought. And I like how the blog emphasizes that there's no one right way to do this. Every relationship is different.
Definitely. You have to figure out what works best for you and your partner.
So as we wrap up here, what's the most important thing for our listener to remember? You know, the one who sent in this blog post looking for ways to reconnect with their partner. What's the biggest takeaway?
I think the blog really drives home the point that it's never too late to rebuild that connection. Even if you're feeling distant right now, those feelings don't have to be permanent. It's about making that effort, showing up for your partner, and not taking the relationship for granted.
Small steps, consistent effort, it all makes a difference.
Absolutely. And as you start putting these ideas into practice, try to focus on the strengths of your relationship. What are those unique qualities that you and your partner share? What makes your bond special? Hold on to that. Because even when things get tough, that connection is something worth fighting for.
Beautifully said. Well, that about wraps up our deep dive on reviving connection, the key to a lasting marriage. Thanks for taking this journey with us. And remember, even small changes can make a big difference when it comes to building a stronger and more fulfilling relationship.